Tony Weedle, everybody. Yeah, recently ordained in the covenant. Once you receive your ordination, then there appears this halo over your head here. So you might see that in Tony.
It looks like it burned a hole in your head.
Yeah. It's so hot.
I did graduate with my Master's of Divinity, but the denomination hasn't ordained me yet, so I'm still working on that. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. We are in a sermon series on core beliefs, the things that we believe as not only Countryside Covenant Church, but the things that we believe as an Evangelical Covenant Church. And so we have talked about God as Creator. We have talked about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've talked about Jesus being both fully God and fully human. We've talked about the atonement, the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross on our behalf. Last week, Pastor John talked about God's providence. And so this week, we are going to talk about regeneration. If I were to bring a microphone around, now I'm not going to bring it around, okay, so you can participate. But if I were to bring a microphone around and ask you to define regeneration, by show of hands, who feels comfortable they could do it? There's a couple of hands, okay. But if I were to bring a microphone around and ask you a different question, but along the same lines, if I were to ask you to describe what does it mean to be a born-again Christian? Show of hands, who could tell me what it means to be a born-again Christian? Sure, a lot more hands go up. We're talking about the same thing. Regeneration is this fancy term that theologians mostly use, but in the Greek it means new genesis, new birth. In today's day and age, we might say born again or born of God, being remade or renewed. I looked up in the theological dictionary, it says this about regeneration. It says regeneration is the action of the Holy Spirit in transforming the lives of those given the gift of faith so they experience a new birth and salvation through Jesus Christ. So this is a special act or a supernatural act of God whereby the person, you and I, are awakened internally or awakened spiritually. This Greek word is used in Titus. Paul is talking here. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he says this. He says, God saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. There's the regeneration piece, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. And so we see that it is God alone doing the work. It is God who saved us by his mercy. If I were to think of an illustration to use to describe what happens in regeneration, I think of, some of you know my family situation. My father-in-law just had a liver transplant, and so I think about a transplant, okay? What happens for a transplant? You get sick, you have organ failure, you are needing a new organ. In his case, he needed a new liver, or maybe for this morning, we might think about a heart transplant. Right? You do everything you need to do. You've gone to the doctors, you've gone to the therapy, you've done the testing, you've done everything, you've accepted the need that you need a new heart. And then the surgeon comes along. You don't do any acting, any participating when the surgeon comes along. There you are in the operating room, and it's the surgeon that is taking out the old and putting in the new. And so it is with regeneration. Right? We make a decision to follow Jesus, to call him our Lord and our Savior. We've made the decision, we've prepared the way, and then God comes in and does a mighty work. He does a mighty work inside of us by giving us a new heart, a heart of flesh, and by giving us his Holy Spirit. And so we're going to spend some time in Ezekiel chapter 36 this morning. Bobby read a little bit of it for us in the opening. And so I encourage you to get your Bibles out, grab your pew Bibles if you want to page 706. The words may be up on the screen, and if all the words aren't on the screen, it's 1,000% my fault. So nobody blame Violet back there. That's 1,000% my fault. So if there's a train wreck going up on the screen, I'm the one to blame this morning. But as we encounter Ezekiel, Ezekiel is a prophet, so we're in the last third of the Old Testament. And as prophecies go, God has given a word to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is sharing it. Okay, and it's easy with prophecies for us to get hung up on all the different facets of what a prophecy is. We may get hung up on the land, we may get hung up on who the people we're talking to, but what I want us to focus on here this morning, specifically as it pertains to regeneration, is I want to focus on the heart of God. And so we're going to focus on the heart of God. And God is responding to what is happening with his chosen people. The text tells us that Israel, their conduct is perverse. It says Israel has defiled God by their conduct and their actions. And so God says, I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. And I dispersed them among the nations and they were scattered through the countries. And I judged them according to their conduct and according to their actions. And so Ezekiel is talking, he is in exile, he is under Babylonian captivity, and he is saying, this is what God has told me, and God has told me we have made a hot mess of this life, of this opportunity, of what God wants, of the life that God wants us to live. It might be easy, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to other people, right? To look over there at this group of people in Israel and say, oh, man, they made a hot mess. They created idols. Their actions were wrong. And it's easy for me to say they had it coming. They knew what was happening. But then I think about my own life. Paul says it this way in Timothy. He says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I look at this list and I go, I've loved money and I've been boastful and proud and disobedient and ungrateful and without love and unforgiving and love things rather than loving God. And so when we encounter the story this morning, we encounter this prophecy, I don't want to just other Israel and say, look at the crazy things they did. I think we should read ourselves into this story because God wants to do a mighty work inside of you and inside of me. God wants to regenerate us all. And so with that set up, God is ready to take action. God is ready to clean up this mess. God is ready to do a powerful work in us. And so we come to the text, Ezekiel 36, verse 22. God says, therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show you the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned. Boy, the Lord is really upset about this. He says, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through and before your eyes. Verse 24, for I will take you out of the nations. Here's the good news. Here comes the good news. And I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. A metaphor for baptism. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. And now here comes the regeneration. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. And then God goes on to say he's going to call for the grain and make it plentiful. He's not going to bring famine. He's going to increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field. He's going to resettle the towns. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. And we get all the way to verse 37. And God says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Once again, I will yield to Israel's plea and do this for them. I will make their people as numerous as sheep, as numerous as the flocks for the offerings at Jerusalem. So the ruined cities will be filled with flocks of people, and then they will know that I am the Lord. Blessed be the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Well, I want to draw your attention first to who's doing the work. I mentioned it about our Titus passage, right? In Titus, it was God who saves. It's God's mercy, right? It's God doing the redemptive work inside of us. And here, more than 15 times, we see God saying, or we read God saying, I will. He says, I'll show the holiness of my great name. I'll take you out of the nations. I'll gather you from the countries. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. I'll give you a new heart. I will give you my spirit. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain. I will increase the fruit of the trees. Boy, I think God's trying to make a point here. God will. God will do. God is the initiator, and we are the responders. I serve right now as a chaplain at a hospital in Wichita. And the way this has been working out for me is I've been trying to be a chaplain most of the time in my own strength. I think I can walk in and care for people and show them compassion and love. At least that was my mindset when I started. But as it turns out, there's a lot of suffering in the world. There's a lot of really bad things happening. Last night I was at the hospital, and not everybody left with their fingers. Did everybody here leave with their fingers? Everybody still has their fingers? There's some crazy things happening. Car wrecks, right? Kids on ventilators. And I think, how in the world, God, am I supposed to walk into a room and comfort a mom at 2 in the morning while her child is there intubated, holding on for life? And so I've come to the end of myself more times than not, and before I walk into the room, I just say, God, I can't do this. I have no idea what it means to be a mom. How am I going to relate to her? I've never had a child. I don't even know where to begin. And God reminds me time and time again, I will. I will. God is doing the work in and through me. And all I have to do is just respond. And I could sit up here and tell you story after story after story of the ways that words came out of my mouth, or a scripture came to mind, or a pause, or whatever it was. Just what that person needed happened. It wasn't in my doing. It was in God's doing. Pastor John talked last week about God's providence, that God is sovereign. God is clearing the path. God is making the way. God is providing. And what is our posture? I believe our text here in Ezekiel is telling us that we are just to respond to God's work. God saying, I will. So what's the first I will statement that we came across here? God said that I want to show the holiness of my great name in verse 22. And as I thought about this, it felt kind of weird to me because it seems like God is worried about his reputation. And when we read the New Testament, Jesus doesn't seem too terribly concerned about reputation. But here, God seems to be worried about his reputation. And as I read the passage more and I thought about it more, it came to me that God wants to be known not by the perverse deeds and actions of the people, but God wants to be known to all the nations by the character in which he revealed to Moses. God said in Exodus 34, when he met with Moses, he says, I am a gracious and compassionate God. I am slow to anger. I'm abounding in love. I'm abounding in faithfulness. And maybe most importantly for us this morning, God says, I'm a forgiving God. I forgive you of your wickedness, your rebellion, and your sin. Wow. God doesn't want to be known by the perverse deeds and actions of the people, but God wants to be known by his holy name. And he goes on to say at the end of verse 23, he says, then the nations will know that I am. I am the Lord. Wow. So we know God's concerned about his holy name. We know God wants to restore us back to himself. We know God, it says right here, we get this beautiful picture of baptism that God is going to cleanse us with water. But what is God going to do? How is God going to equip us to this restorative work that he desires? First, in verse 26, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God wants to give us an identity. He wants to take our hard identity, our identity of stone, and he wants to throw it away. The metaphor as a transplant, he wants to cut that old heart out because it's stubborn, it's rebellious. And instead, he wants to put in a heart of flesh, something that he can mold, something that he can shape, something that he can lean into, a new identity, a new purpose. Jesus talks about the importance of having this pure heart, this heart of flesh. In the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of God. But it's not just this new identity. God also gives us his spirit. In verse 27, he says, and I will put my spirit in you, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Friends, this is the cornerstone, maybe the key to the Christian life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what's being prophesied here. This is our source of power, our compass, our true light. Thomas Kelly says that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit changes the importance of the now. What is happening right here in this moment, in this space. This will never happen again. Each and every person sitting in each and every spot, in each and every pew, this will never happen again, connected by the Holy Spirit. This moment of worship was powerful. Why was it powerful? Because all of us are here corporately worshiping together. The Spirit coming alive through us. And Thomas Kelly said it's the indwelling of the Spirit is important now, right? We so often in today's society, we can get hung up in our past. The enemy wants us to hold on to our past and be distracted with what's happening back here. Or all the prosperity folks want us to talk about the future and how important the future is to focus on. But the future matters less and the past matters less for what is happening right here, because the Spirit dwells inside of us is all that is needed to satisfy our deepest longings and our deepest cravings. This concept of a new heart and a new spirit is interwoven throughout the entirety of Scripture. And this is good news for us this morning, because we don't have to guess whether or not this concept of regeneration is truly something God wants for us. It's repeated over and over and over again. We know it to be true. I'm just going to read a few verses for you here this morning. Deuteronomy 6 says, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. It's in Jeremiah 31:33. God says, I'm going to make a covenant with the people of Israel, and after that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Earlier in Ezekiel chapter 11, it says this in verse 19, I will give them an undivided heart. Ooh, I love that imagery. So not just a heart of flesh, but an undivided heart, and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them that heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Psalm 51:10, King David says, God, create in me a pure heart and renew your steadfast spirit within me. And it's also this idea of a new heart, this idea of the Holy Spirit, this idea of regeneration. Jesus talks about it with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. They're having this big discussion about how to get into the kingdom of God and how do I inherit an eternal life. And Jesus says, you must be born by the water and by the Spirit. Later on in that chapter, we get to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. An eternal regeneration, a new identity, a new purpose. I want to leave us with this final point this morning, and I believe it is our chief blessing this morning. When we started out here in Ezekiel, God said, I'm not doing this for your sake, Israel. I'm doing it for the sake of my holy name. To me, that feels like relationship is broken. And you start this out and go, man, well, they're perverse deeds or perverse actions, relationship's broken. Okay, God, what are you going to do? And so we've talked through the restoration plan, right? We've talked about the cleansing. We've talked about the new identity. We've talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And all of that is amazing. But it's amazing because in verse 37, God says this. God says, once again, I will yield to Israel's plea and do this for them. Once again, I will yield to Israel's plea. God wants restored relationship with each and every one of us. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. The Lord, the creator and sustainer of all things, wants to be in relationship with you. When I think about that, and I think about the ability to have this relationship because of the indwelling of the Spirit, because we know the rest of the story. So powerful. It's so amazing. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to respond to his initiations and his promptings in our life. And so this morning we get a chance to Not a chance, we get the opportunity to come to the communion table. I want us to think this morning about coming to this table with a new identity for all who believe. That's why here we're talking about our core beliefs in the Covenant Church. We believe all that call Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior, all that have experienced this regeneration, this new birth, can come to the table and feast. And when we come to this table, we can be reminded from our passage this morning that we have been washed clean. We can be reminded that we have a heart of flesh, that even in this space, God is ready to meet us. And finally, because God dwells inside of us, and we know this to be true, we can be reminded we don't have to do this alone. God said 15 times in our text this morning, I will do it. And he did. Jesus says, it is finished.